Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This conversation today and potential vote today is not built based on any specific metric. I feel like this is a political desire of Mr. Adams, as he has made well known since the day after the vote in 2018. I'll start with actual metrics we do know. Thanks to this board and its appointment, our superintendent, and our amazing teachers, administration staff, our school district ranked 48th out of 67 counties in Florida. That's the highest ranking in almost a decade and an improvement over our last ranking of 53. Obviously, we had a year without, but the last ranking in our elected format was 53.
So we're improving, and as D.C. Reeves, who had promised earlier in the day in the press conference that he was going to go speak about the issue of having a referendum to return to an elected superintendent at the Escambia County School Board, he said, oh yeah, I'm going. It's actually kind of funny. He showed up and got some time donated by his chief of staff, who also showed up there as well, and he talked about, like, for example, Kevin Adams has brought this forward, school board member Kevin Adams, and the rankings for the school district have improved compared to the rest of the state, even during COVID. Of course, everybody suffered COVID, right? And also, he says, look, you reviewed Tim Smith, and Tim Smith, you said, is doing a good job.
We also know that the number in D&F schools have been cut by more than half for the first year of measure for the current superintendent. In not one category in your five evaluations, or at least the last five evaluations, Dr. Smith had one category that was marked needs improvement from your evaluations. I believe Mr. Adams wrote in Dr. Smith's 2022 evaluation that our superintendent has done an excellent job of representing the district and advocating at local and state level for our public education requirements.
So the school district is doing well overall, he says. The superintendent was reviewed by you as doing well overall. What gives? Why are you trying to revert to an old system, especially when there's really no data to suggest that a change in structure after just 2 years of having an appointed superintendent makes sense? So Kevin Adams, his explanation?
There was 62,418 that voted yes, and there was 61,508 that voted no. It was a 910 vote difference. Okay? And if it's going so wonderful, I don't see why all the worry. I mean, I put this on because I met people I didn't even know a couple months ago. Some back the campaign. They all said, hey, we want to have that vote again. And I promised them during my campaign I would fulfill that, okay? Because I'm not scared of letting the voters decide an issue.
So his argument is, look, the margin of the win for the appointed was very slim. I want to give the voters the chance to express their will, which they have told me they'd like to express that will again. And it was close. And he says, look, if things are going so swimmingly, then surely don't you trust the voters to see that and preserve the appointed superintendent system? I would look at it just a little bit differently, which is this. I agree the vote margin was slim. I never really did take a position one way or the other on this. I actually tend to agree with Paul Fetsko and Bill Slayton, who said yesterday that the issue is not so much how we pick them, but that we have the right person and that they stay there long enough to be able to create the ideas and goals and implement their system, which might take a little while for anybody. Being there a long time is much more powerful than just changing, which can be really chaotic for a school district. But I also think, like, generally speaking, that's why you don't change so fast. You know, the conservative argument, right? Kevin Adams is a Republican. I'm a Republican. We believe in conservatism. Part of conservatism is you don't make a lot of changes real fast. You make a change and you stick with it for a while to see how it plays out, because change itself is a problem. And changing too much all the time, like going back and forth between elected and appointed, that's a problem. I mean, that really is a disadvantage. But he says, look, I don't know whether he's going to be here in 2 or 4 years, but I trust the voters and I want to give them the ability to say so. So he was the one known vote for asking the county commissioners to approve a referendum to go back to an elected superintendent. Patty Hightower?
I don't think there's a lot of difference in working with an appointed or an elected from the board standpoint, other than the fact that if three of us decide that the superintendent that we have put into office is not performing adequately, then we have the authority to remove that person. And I think that that's one of the things that some of you that have spoken to us tonight have forgotten. You elect somebody, they're there for 4 years.
And that is a key power, right? If you believe, like, for example, the recall the commissioners issue that's working in Tallahassee right now, if you want the power to remove people midway through a term, well, having an appointed superintendent does that because there is no recall for the superintendent elected. And it's not just a recall by the voters, obviously, but it would be an indirect recall where you could lobby your elected school board members in order to recall the person. And if you think it needs to be done, you can, of course, vote the people who aren't willing to do that out of office every 2 years. Yeah, because 4 years, but every two, we elect somebody. So she's saying this gives us the power to get rid of a bad one faster or to keep in place one that's good for longer. We'll get to what the other board member said here in just a second. Before that, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look around, we're not showing a lot right now, but certainly watch for your usual areas of congestion, like Woodmine. Again, southbound once again backing up. East 9 Mile in Palafox showing an accident, but no roadblock this morning. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the school board meeting from last night. David Williams, District 3.
One of the things I ran on is that we want to make a difference and continue to make a difference in our community. We're going through some extremely tough and difficult times. And as I've mentioned to many of my constituents, anyone that is would be superintendent now would be going through a very difficult time. And that's not to say I would vote one way or the other if it came up, because I'm on the fence on that. But I will be voting to keep an appointed superintendent.
So he's not sure whether he votes to keep or get rid of Tim Smith if that vote comes before them, is how I interpreted those comments. But he does want to keep the power to make that decision himself. And so he's a no vote on the issue. Patty Hightower was a no vote on the issue. And Bill Slayton had expressed a no vote because he said that the changing back and forth was really problematic. So that's 3-1 so far. And then Paul Fetzko.
It does not matter how a superintendent gets into that position. What matters is the superintendent and what he does when he's in that position.
And by the way, Paul, I don't know what was going on with his voice, but it was that way for the Monday meeting as well. It turned out to be about 7.5 hours, not 9 hours like I had thought. But that long meeting, by the end of it, I didn't notice if at the beginning he had the same issue. But he went on.
I also say this, consistency is very important. When we've had multiple term superintendents, we've made more progress than we ever did under all the years prior to that. And I don't disparage those gentlemen who worked to do the things that they believed in.
All right, so it's, again, that question of having one person in place for a while that creates continuity, structure, and lets you get the system to working. And we just haven't had that long with Tim Smith. Nevertheless,
I will say this. I also was on the ballot this last November, and everywhere that I spoke and everyone I spoke to asked me to support a referendum for the elected. I will do that for them. I do not do it because I say it has to be this way or this way.
So he also is saying he was asked to do this, told people that he would, so that's what he's supporting to go back to it because people are asking him for it. So in the end, they had the vote.
No further discussion. Let's vote.
Motion does not carry 2-3.
So there you go. You had Kevin Adams and Paul Fetzko voting to go back to ask for a referendum to vote on the issue of elected or appointed again after, 2018 is when we first put this in place. But it's only been effective with the term of Tim Smith since Malcolm Thomas retired. And then the other three, Patty Hightower, David Williams, and Bill Slayton, all voted not to go back to that. So that's where it is. It's over for now. I got the vote right. I got the whip count wrong. I didn't think Paul Fetzko was going to vote for this. I was very surprised to see him vote for this, but maybe I haven't been paying enough attention to him lately. So there you go. Still a 3-2, but Candy, I was so adamant it was going to be a 4-1.
I know.
And then it was 3-2. So in any case, same outcome. 7:19 here on News Radio 92.3. Do you want to have this vote again? Do you think it's good to have? Which is, by the way, a different question from whether you wish we had an elected superintendent, right? You might wish we had an elected, but not want to go back and forth with this process so frequently. Or you might say, no, I want to vote for it, and therefore I want to vote to be able to vote for it, which I understand that position. 850-437-1620. Feel free to text me your thoughts about all this. It's 720 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And listen, if you are in your 40s or 50s, maybe in your 60s, but probably not quite there. And you're looking at your parents. You know, you're looking at maybe aunts and uncles, okay? You're looking at people who are a generation up, and you're noticing that that person is not quite the same. You know, maybe they don't remember things as well. Maybe they stumble more. Maybe they have issues with bathing and dressing and grooming and toileting, what the experts call activities of daily living. And if that's the folks that you're watching, I know it's hard to admit. I know nobody wants to think about this, okay? But they probably need a little bit more help than you're able to give them. And that's why you consider like assisted living, because assisted living is where you still live independently, but you get help from people when you need it, to the level that you need it for your individual care. That's the idea, so that you can keep living independently. And I've got a friend named John Horton. He has a company called Assisted Living Locators. There's no charge. And what he'll help you do is figure out what's right for your loved ones and where's the right place, because there are many, many, many options here locally. So it can seem overwhelming. Don't let it overwhelm you, and don't ignore what you're seeing. Talk to John Horton, 712-0887, or look him up online at assistedlivinglocators.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Batman, what happened? Are you okay?
He slimed me.
Oh, baby, let me be your love and tell you back. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let him be.
No.
Trout's ready. 3-2.
He struck him out. Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
There you had the call last night. The USA did not win. It was 3-2. Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher, hitter, amazing player from Japan, pitching in the ninth inning. He walked a batter and then got a double play. And then his teammate, Mike Trout, also from the Angels, was up against him with the game on the line. You know, a home run would have tied it. A strikeout would have won the game. And as you heard there, he got the strikeout. Now, that's fun. Okay, even if you're an American, okay, that's fun. It's still fun. If you're a baseball fan, that's fun to hear. But if you are just a fan of things in the world that are entertaining, it's also worthwhile to listen to the version that they played on Japanese television.
Full count. Ohtani ka, Trout ka.
Ohtani versus Trout. Enthusiasm doesn't need a translation. Oh, I love it. Oh, man, he kept
going.
You
can't tell if he's happy or sad. Mad.
Oh, no, he's happy. Very, very, very happy.
Yeah. I wonder what they serve over there, like at the games. You know what I mean? Like, is it hot dogs and popcorn, or is it
that's a great
sushi
question.
And sake? Yeah, I wonder.
Because
yeah.
I know if Has you go to, like, ever... Seattle, which is closest to, mm-hmm. you know, the Asia,
oh, sure.
To Japan, they serve, like, sushi and, you know, unusual foods at the ballpark. Wow. In Seattle. Yeah, it's kind of odd. So I wonder, I don't know the answer to that question. Well, all right,
you
got to
find richer friends.
Tell them about the traffic.
Sorry, everybody. Roads are fine for the most part. Watching a slowdown, it looks like, in Cantonment. This is north of the mill. It looks like 29 southbound showing an accident, an at Muskogee vehicle crash with a roadblock, and that's what that is. So, again, that's north of the mill, but it's going southbound on 29, and that's where the holdup is, right there at the mill, Muskogee and Cantonment Highway 29. Caution there, and wherever you are, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good description. I mean, that's hard to, like, but that's, no. That's,
well, it's weird, but yeah, you right. can see it. It's like, bah.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I'm in pain for y'all.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine set to address the U.S. Senate today on that train derailment from East Palestine, Ohio. He'll be delivering remarks to the Commerce Committee virtually. An actor that was known for his work in Star Wars and Harry Potter has died. Paul Grant was found collapsed outside of King's Cross Station in London last week. His daughter confirmed his death to Sky News. He played an Ewok in Return of the Jedi and a goblin in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. He was 56. 56, yeah, it's pretty young.
Okay.
And then actress Gwyneth Paltrow could be called to testify today in a trial involving a 2016 ski accident that happened in Utah. Her lawyers tried to pick apart the testimony of a witness yesterday. Paltrow accused of running into and injuring a man, then skiing away with her friends as he laid there unconscious.
I feel like there's a Jethro Tull song in there somewhere. Skiing away on the thin snow. With a bunch of friends. No, maybe not. No.
Only one.
Okay. No, maybe.
I'm all here
Skiing
by myself.
Away. No. I got my jazz flute out. Aqualung! Hey, Aqualung! All right.
Sorry about that. Got me. Definitely got me.
I do like
I was going to read some of these texts. David, thanks so much for the update. Text got in about the elected or appointed. Somebody says, I personally do not care if the person is elected or appointed. I do care that Dr. Smith is not the right person. And not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people that have that same sentiment. Somebody here says we should go back to the elected superintendent. Somebody says, let's see, that was not radio. That was not relevant. These other ones are on other topics. I'm trying to make sure I get them all on the same topic. And then let's see. This is a classic case of not being able to tackle the real issues. So let's change the subject to something that is easier to solve. Like, you know, can't fix the schools. So let's, you know, push the problem over to thinking about it being elected or appointed. Somebody else said regarding Paul Fetsko, choosing to vote to have the referendum after finding out that there were already three people opposed to that vote says, well, you know, that's a convenient way to play to the base who are asking you to do a thing that really has no consequences now that you know that the vote is 3-1, if you can count. All reasonable comments. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody else says, yes, I want to vote for superintendent. Appointed superintendent can be bought with just needing three votes from a board. There you go. 437-1620, 437-1620.
Those are Jethro Tull quotes.
If Japanese can do radio like that, then News Radio 92.3 needs to hire somebody from Tokyo immediately. That would. Can you imagine traffic done in the style of enthusiastic Japanese baseball commentator? Or, which sounds like a Whose Line Is It Anyway sketch, right?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Or done in the style of enthusiastic Mexican football.
Right,
announcer,
yeah, I was going to say, I can't really think of a way to do it where it doesn't sound like
no.
it's going to be really
yeah,
awful.
These days,
but yeah, go!
You cannot do accents. Well, can't do accents.
And it would sound awful, there but yeah.
729
versus
on
the
news.
Awfulness that it sounds now in English.
Which is a fine version of awfulness.
Thank you.
We'll allow it. Let's see, 729 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you remember the coach who pressed the issue of praying on the field and went to the
yes.
Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
And he won his case last summer. He's now getting his job back and $1.7 million. So
he sued and he got $1.7 million.
Got $1.7 million out of it. Yeah, because, you know, the Supreme Court said, no, you guys are wrong for firing him. I always wonder about that just because, on the one hand, I see the value of sending a nice, bright, vivid message to all the other school districts and principals and whomever all around the country. Don't do this. Okay. And $1.7 million sends that message pretty clearly. On the other hand, you know, just. I don't know. It would be hard to take that money knowing that it's coming from the teaching the kids money. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe they have insurance, and maybe the insurance covers a bunch of it, but people pay for the insurance too. So, I don't know. I get the value of punitive damages, and I get that you need to have punitive damages in order to have a real reason for people to pay attention to judgments like that and learn the lesson. But yeah, there's something just a little bit icky about taking school funding money in a case like this at that level. Anyway, just a thought. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
An arrest was made in that fatal crash involving a Pensacola Christian College student. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. China's President Xi and Russia's President Putin say their goodbyes in Moscow, promising a new era not seen for 100 years, says Xi.
Friends and allies, these two leaders ended their summit with a pledge to work even more closely together. Despite promises of advanced military cooperation, no mention of Chinese weapon supplies to Russia, something feared by the West.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Two new Republican presidential polls show Donald Trump increasing his lead over Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis hasn't said he's running. Fox Nation's Piers Morgan asks, which Trump nickname does he prefer, Ron DeSanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
I don't know how to spell DeSanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio, 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 49 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. The Florida Highway Patrol has arrested a 59-year-old man on DUI manslaughter charges after that crash yesterday that took the life of a Pensacola Christian College student. FHP says Oscar Martin's pickup truck veered off the road, hit the student who was cleaning up trash around a college facility at the time. The student died before they could get to the hospital.
This month is impaired driving awareness month, ironically, where we realize that the month of March has been historically, we've had our highest DUI arrest and our highest DUI involved crashes. So we've been trying to educate and bring awareness. Sadly, here we are.
That's FHP's Lieutenant Jason King. Now, that crash happened yesterday on Airport Boulevard in North Palafox Streets, Martin being held now without bond at the Escambia County Jail. The Escambia County School Board rejected a move yesterday to return to an elected school superintendent. That motion put forward by board member Kevin Adams failed in a 3-2 vote. The job became an appointed position in 2018 after a ballot referendum. Voters decided to give the school board power over the position. Board members Patty Hightower, Bill Slayton, and David Williams all voted against it. There were no injuries yesterday when an Escambia County school bus with 60 kids on board pulled out in front of a speeding car on Highway 29. This happened at the intersection with Archer Road. According to FHP, the bus did not yield to traffic while making a left turn, was hit by a vehicle that was driven by a 19-year-old Pensacola man. FHP says the car was traveling at a high rate of speed when it hit the bus. Luckily, none of the 60 kids on the bus were hurt. The driver of the sedan was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Last week, investigators with the sheriff's office invited former detectives to come back for a day or two and take a look at some cold cases. Sheriff Chip Simmons says while the cases aren't closed yet, they definitely did come away with some new things to look at.
And there's certainly some potential to eventually crack some of these cases or at least make a lot of headway in those cases. And that's really why we do it. I don't know that I expected us to solve all four cases in 2 days. But what we did want is this different perspective and this feeling that you're doing all you can for the families of the victims.
And it's the second time the sheriff's office has held a cold case symposium event. They did look at four cases, including Connie Slaughter, who was found strangled in her backyard in 2010, Stephen Davis, who was shot in a Winn-Dixie parking lot in 1998, Anna Brown, who was shot near Alligator Creek in 2017, and the case of a 9-year-old boy, Kenneth Underwood, who died from blunt force trauma near an abandoned church in Cantonment in 1980. If you've got any information on any of those four cases, call the sheriff's office or Crime Stoppers. State lawmakers are considering ending permanent alimony payments. A state Senate committee meeting tomorrow to debate the dissolution of marriage bill, SB 1416, would allow people that pay alimony to either reduce or stop the alimony payments when they retire. Supporters of the bill say it would allow them to retire when they want, but the First Wives Advocacy Group is opposed to the bill. One member tells the News Service of Florida that the alimony payments are her only source of income and losing them would make her destitute and dependent on the state. 735 right now, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Bad accident. This is north of the mill, and it actually looks like at Muskogee and 29, so maybe right there at the mill. But traffic is backed up 29 southbound, again, north of the mill. So use caution there. Cervantes, as I understand, and it looks like T has an accident with a road closure. It's a box truck versus a car, one lane closed. So certainly watch out for that and that Brownsville area, I think. Certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. We appreciate it. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. And now for a look at our Channel 3 first warning forecast.
It's going to be a beautiful day with temperatures warming up near 73 degrees. Much warmer this afternoon with plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures will stay in the 60s, not getting too cool through the overnight period. Still staying warm as you go into your Thursday with a high near 78, mostly sunny skies. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, mostly sunny, 49 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and 46 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Phoenix-based Knight Swift Transportation Holdings is buying rival trucker U.S. Express Enterprises of Chattanooga in a deal valued at about $808 million that will bolster the scale of one of the country's largest trucking operators. Knight Swift says the deal will add about $2.2 billion in total operating revenue. Knight Swift, the largest operator in trucking truckload sector, in which trucks carry full loads for single customers for deliveries, says such transports to distribution centers. Shares of GameStop up 44% in pre-market trading after the retailer said cost-cutting helped it record its first quarterly profit after seven consecutive quarters of losses. GameStop has been working to turn around its business for close to 2 years. During the holiday quarter, GameStop said sales of collectibles and game hardware increased, while sales of its flagship products, new and used video games, declined. On Wall Street, futures little changed after stocks closed sharply higher yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit. New PCI. See dealer for details.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
When fire crews arrived, the adults were not in that building, and Chief Randall may have more information on that, but I don't have that information. There were no adults in the building when fire crews arrived.
Yeah, so this is Chief Jenny Craner, fire chief for Pensacola Fire, yesterday talking at the press conference with Mayor Reeves, and I'm still fuzzy on some of these details because I thought the early reports was that there was an adult transported in this horrible fire that took the life of one child and sent two more to the hospital in very serious condition that we're still, you know, praying for them and hoping that they turn out okay, obviously. Mayor Reeves joins us, as he does every Wednesday at about this time. D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you. Is there, and look, I know there's an ongoing investigation, and I know you may not be able to say a lot because of that. I get that. But is there anything that you can tell us either about this structure that I guess wasn't the main home? Were there no adults, you know, age of the kids? I mean, am I young kids, older kids? Any of this you can clarify for us?
Yeah, I mean, all we can confirm at this point, as said yesterday, you know, open investigation, you know, makes us certainly overly sensitive to you know, divulging a lot of details. But, okay. You know, we can confirm it was children, you know, and we can't confirm, you know, ages necessarily at this point.
Okay.
And that, yes, you know, it was this structure that set fire was in essence an outbuilding, there's a main home on the property as well. Yeah, outside of that, you know, I'm kind of just leaving it, you know, it's still under investigation. You know, both our police department and fire department working with their partners to continue to look into, you know, the details of what happened here further.
Well, I will, you know, certainly respect the fact that you have to protect, you know, anything that might come out of this, but that sure sounds fishy to me. I mean, in terms of the whole setup, I know you probably can't say any more, but seems like there's a lot more to be said here about what was going on and what wasn't going on and why they were in that building and why, you know, all of it. So, all right, we'll look forward to finding more out. You also met this past week with the owners of Now Club Climax and sent them this letter. And it seemed from Tuesday's meeting like you were encouraged by the results of that meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first most important thing to me coming out of that meeting, the outcome being that these were owners that cared about the same thing we cared about, you know, not to say, you know, not to be defiant in our higher expectation of working with our police department, but to be collaborative. And they are. So I really want to give them credit for that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, I had to say, like, we can't do this again. We can't be in this meeting again about another homicide around the building. And so, you know, that's the duty of our police department. That's the duty of ownership. You know, ownership doesn't always end when the door closes in the building, you know, and I kind of made that point with all of the folks in the meeting. I said, I don't own the building. I don't own the property. And we're all here right now. Right. So we all have to take some ownership and, you know, and so we will continue to monitor and see how this relationship grows. You know, we've set some expectations of communication. And, you know, for folks that have said and emailed and called and 100% understand their frustration saying, you know, why don't you shut this business down? You know, that's not really something there's a lot of complexity to that. It's not right. As easy as that. A city council or a mayor's office can't just go around and start closing businesses on preference. And not that there isn't, you know, certainly a very, very deep concern here, but it's not that simple. But, you know, we've set our expectations with them. We expect to see this relationship strengthen, and we expect to not have to have another meeting like this.
And you said something yesterday that I thought people might not realize, this what you call a CEPTED, which is the Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design, or in layman's terms, the thinking about how buildings and parking lots and security are designed in order to discourage or thwart crime through design, that the police, Pensacola police, have conducted this CEPTED evaluation. And that's something that doesn't have to, you don't have to wait until you have homicides on or near your property in order to get PPD to do this, right? This is meant to be preventative, and anybody can take advantage of it.
That's right. Any business, and actually individuals can as well. Really professionals coming into your structure and saying, you know, here's an opportunity for someone to enter. Here's an opportunity, you know, I mean, looking at all from police to fire, you know, how they would enter or exit a building, fire, how they'd enter and exit a building. And as I told the media yesterday, obviously that report for this location and any report is not subject to public record, because you don't want the public having access to saying, here's one of the weaknesses of entering or exiting a building. So,
right.
But we have asked that, we have requested that the owners do that, and they complied immediately, and that septed test at Club Climax has already taken place, so we're just waiting on that report. But yeah, absolutely, that is something. And honestly, I didn't know that before I became mayor. I had four businesses at four different structures. That would have certainly been something I would have taken advantage of.
Yeah. Right. Which is, I thought that was fascinating too. Even I, you know, how many years have I been talking every week to Mike Wood at PPD, and I wasn't aware of that. Or maybe he mentioned sometime in the past and I didn't ask the right question or whatever, but I thought, oh, well, that's right. A great resource. Sure. Because, you know, like you said, you own four businesses and didn't know this. So, you know, let's make this more aware for people.
Right.
We're talking to D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mayor, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
All right. A few accidents to watch out for. I've been talking about D.C., about the one at the mill. This is north of Muskogee on 29. It's right there. The accident is right there, but it has it down to one lane, southbound 29. Again, that is north of the paper mill. 98 and Tallow Tree Drive, which is on 98 right between Lillian and Blue Angel. Crash with a roadblock. Drive with caution. It looks like that is backed up in that area. Another accident at McCarroll Road and Eleanor Court and Four Homes Drive. A hit-and-run crash. Looks like that has been moved out of the way. And then another thing in Milton, exit 26. It looks like I-10 exit 26 at Garson Street in Milton, showing an accident. There was a roadblock earlier. It looks like that may be clear. Certainly, if you know different or if you have any traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. And by the way, I got a text in from somebody to remind me that security surveys like this are also offered by other agencies. I'm sure Santa Rosa does it. Escambia Sheriff's Office does it. So it's not only for people who live in the city, but anybody can take advantage of that. I'm talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, we got kind of a concerning note earlier this week that the Malcolm Young Gym was going to be taken offline due to some safety structural non-repair concerns.
Yeah, we just announced that yesterday afternoon, and working with Lighthouse Christian, who's actually has a lease on the building right now, the nearby school. And, you know, we had had some concerns as we start to evaluate, attempt to maintain the things that we have. We have some concerns about its age. You know, we had asked the tenants to get their own assessment. And while it's not the level of assessment, you know, we need now, they came back and had concerns. We sent our team in and on the cursory had concerns. And that's enough for me. I mean, when you talk about having children in a building, you know, that I do not want children playing basketball or having PE in a building that there's, you know, considerable concerns, especially when we were talking about the roof and ceiling and things like that. So, out of abundance of caution, we made the decision yesterday to say, hey, we're going to close this building. We're going to get a more advanced structural assessment and really understand what the condition of this building is. Anybody who's lived in Pensacola knows this is a very old structure. You know, I played basketball league, and then when I was nine, I know it's getting old, and it was an old building then. And so, you know, that, and so we're really taking a look at, you might hear of one or two more of these in the coming days and weeks,
really?
of parts or structures that we have that, you know, if they're not safe, you know, I don't want it, on the conscience of the city, that if we know, if we look into it and we feel like, that there's some caution that, you know, somebody can get hurt, a child could get hurt, then we just got to make the adult decision to say, we're going to shut it down and make until we know that it's safe. And so, you know, I don't want to inconvenience anybody. Certainly don't want to inconvenience the tenant. They were understanding when we talked with them yesterday. So I really appreciate them working with us on that and trying to be helpful. But, you know, I would way rather be wrong that something wasn't going to that and something not go wrong than the opposite. And
right.
So this is just where we got to start taking care of the stuff that we've got.
Well, that's the context for me. And if you're saying that there might be other ones getting closed down here shortly because of the same level of concern, this to me falls into a category that you and I have talked about before, which is, you know, it's fun to build a new thing. I mean, it's exciting to ribbon cut and open and show off the shiny new whatever it is, but that's really bad practice if you don't then have the follow-up funding to continually maintain and upkeep and make sure that the thing remains useful. And my perspective is that we have a problem sort of across the board in this area, not just Pensacola, but, you know, Escambia, Santa Rosa, we all have this problem where, you know, we build the new thing and then we don't maintain it. And at some point, that's got to catch up with you, and it seems to me like you're making safety judgments because of that problem. Am I reading this the right way?
Yeah, and look, I think it's opened a bigger conversation, in our building about, let's get an assessment of what's our plan, what's our maintenance schedule for all these. Look, we are unique in that we have 94 parks and 10 community centers, so we're unique in that. That is an amenity for the city and its residents, but we also have 94 parks and 10 community centers that need to be taken care of, and we want them to be a sense of pride, not a, man, look how bad that looks, or I don't feel safe going in there. I mean, and so what's the use having it? If we're going to do that, sell off the building if it's not going to be in good shape or people can't safely inhabit it, then so what's the use of having it? So that's where I'm at with it is, it's not fun. Certainly it's more fun to cut a ribbon than it is to maintain, and it's more fun to maintain than it is to close a building.
I'll tell
you that. And you talk about, think about cost savings, Andrew. I mean, when it comes down to if we maintain these buildings correctly, it should save us money than if we let them get to a point of no return or very little return.
You mean preventative maintenance is cheaper in the long run? What a crazy concept. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And, I've long advocated for, and I'm sure as a business owner, you agree with the idea that, when we buy a thing, like when city council buys a thing, the purchase price ought to come with the maintenance cost, And so we know we're buying $300,000 this year and $15,000 a year for 20 years, like that should be part of the, anyway, but I know you know that. We always like to end with a little bit of the kind of lightning round stuff. So quick question, make a bunch of enemies here. What is the best and the worst potato chip according to Mayor D.C. Reeves?
Ooh, man, yeah, you put me on the spot.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're going flavor. I actually like jalapeno as my
all right.
favorite. But, and, the
respect.
Kettle. I think that's my favorite. Non-favorite, unfortunately, one doesn't come to mind. I mean, salt and vinegar cannot do it.
Okay. Do it. All right. Don't like the tangy feeling of your lip being pinched every time you take a bite. I understand that. When you have a condiment bottle and you're getting ready to pour it, like, let's say, mustard or the A1 or the ketchup, do you shake the bottle first, or do you just grip it, rip it, let it go?
Well, one thing about me, I don't eat mustard. So ketchup, still, someone told me when I was probably 5 years old that you hit the 57 on the side of the Heinz label with your palm, and it comes out. And that it hasn't failed me in 33 years since that story. So no shake. We just go right after it.
Just go right at it. Okay. And by the way, I'm going to go out on a limb here because that's 0-for-2 for you on the vinegary flavor.
Strong,
I think you're.
Mayor,
yeah, I think you're tart deficient. You're tart appreciation deficient. We'll just go ahead and leave it out there for you.
Sour candy is fine.
What's that now?
Anything else? No. Said sour candy is fine. Anything else? No.
No, he's talking about like the treat, not our producer.
Well, duh.
Right, exactly.
DC exactly. Reeves. DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, always entertaining, always informative. Great to have you, of course. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll look forward to city council tomorrow night. Thanks so much, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You bet. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
ECUA's free recycling coach app is here. Discover which materials are recyclable, receive automatic reminders on waste collections, schedules, and holiday update, and use the report, a problem feature, to schedule a special pickup or report a missed pickup. What's more, there's educational information on a wide variety of recycling topics and resources. Download the Recycling Coach app today with the App Store or Play Store. Also accessible from the ECUA website. That's ecua.fl.gov.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one. He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on his feet here.
Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, side note, we got the Men Who Cook coming up in early April, and we just had our chef's meeting last night, so, I'm just telling you, it's
going to
be good.
I thought that was in the studio Monday.
You had a real when I brought
chef,
stuff around.
You had regular people.
I was doing a pre-tasting just to make sure what we were going to do was going to work out.
But you're doing it in radio where everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, happy, whatever is free is so good." Yeah.
Yeah, and what Moose is awesome. Making is going to be great, and it was all good last night at the meeting, so it'll be a good event. Candy's got traffic on the fives before we get to David.
Hold up, did you guys bring food to the meeting? Of what you're going to make?
No.
You just
no.
Your words. Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Just words,
then
word pictures.
Then I don't need to go next year. So we take a look at our roads. This is there's a lot going on this morning. Highway 29 in Muskogee. Now it's backed up to Neal Road, as I understand. Now this is 29. It's backed up southbound at Muskogee near International Paper, but it was backed up to Neal Road earlier. 98 and Tallow Tree Drive in Pensacola. We're showing a crash with a roadblock. That's right between Lillian and Blue Angel on 98, like smack dab in between. Davis Highway, very stop and go again this morning from Copter Road to Olive, and not a normal backup. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What is the alternate to this?
What?
Jack's Branch Road? Like, what is your workaround to this Highway 29 thing? I'm just looking at the map and I'm thinking to myself,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you could go Jack's Branch.
How would you go around? I mean, like,
well, have you
neighborhood
seen,
roads,
have
basically?
You seen beautiful scenic Walnut Hill?
Fair enough. Right, fair
no,
enough. Yeah.
I guess you probably don't want to go that way, but no, you can go around Neal and then go down 95A.
Okay.
Well, no, you can't.
No, you can't because that's jacked
that's
up, too.
That's true. That is. I don't know.
Good luck.
I know.
Sorry. I mean, I wish I had better advice.
Well, you know, if they would allow internet in the north end of the county, then maybe they could order a helicopter. I mean, I lived in Molino. Man. I get the pain, and it does. It rots when you're just stuck right there.
Yeah. Oh, this. No, I'm just looking at it, trying to see if I can even see a good way to advise people to go. And I guess it's work from home day is what it is. David Wayne is if you have
cards.
The option. Yeah. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
People that live in cities around the world facing a looming water crisis. This according to a new UN report. The UN World Water Development Report came out this week. It predicts that a number of city dwellers who lack safe drinking water is going to double by the year 2050 to 2.4 billion people around the world.
Wow.
There's been a big number of media trucks and reporters waiting around in lower Manhattan to see if former President Donald Trump is going to be indicted today. And there's both Trump supporters and protesters on the ground in New York. Also here in Florida around Mar-a-Lago, there's been both as well. The grand jury reconvening later today to continue hearing that case.
All right. Thanks so much for the update. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I was telling you this before, but I think Al Franken is actually doing a really good job on The Daily Show. He's the most entertaining so far to me.
In other overseas news, there was a big win for workers in France who will now get to work longer than ever. Despite weeks of protests from lazy French people who wanted to keep the retirement age at 62, the government has now raised the age at which workers can retire with a pension to 64.
Yeah, so all the way up to 64, but this is the good part.
And I'm sorry, but I have no patience for people who need to stop working in their early 60s. I'm 71, and I'm working. And I haven't lost a step beat. I'm as sharp as I was when I started on Saturday Night Live. I haven't lost a step since then, and that was back in 1975, nearly 40 long decades.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade, weekdays 11 to 1, is News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf.